start. We've been talking about this allegory of Esther. We'll kind of recap a little bit. It's been a little while since we've been here, and we'll try to go a little further. What we're going to deal with is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in a believer's life through this allegory. So let's see if I can get some things settled here. Amen. Also, while you're getting something missionary to pray for and finding your place in the book of Esther, the 23rd of December is the Wednesday before Christmas. Brother Mitch Canup will be with us that Wednesday. Thought it would be a great idea. We was down in Alabama. They'd done it. I thought, man, that's a great idea to have a missionary in around Christmas and give them a little something for Christmas. So they're going to be our missionary that will be here that Wednesday before Christmas. And if you want to give them a little Christmas gift, you buy them a little something. Amen. And we're going to give it to them that night and have him preach to us. So I think that will be very fitting. Amen. To show our appreciation to one of our missionaries out on the field, have him in to preach to us and then give him a little something for Christmas. So you just follow the Lord on that, whatever he'd have you to do. Esther chapter number 1. Amen. Remember one another in prayer. Continue to remember my wife in prayer. Amen. She needs some little special prayers. And also, brother, I got a whole box of these back there on that pew in the foyer. Brother Luke Miller has made these things using his brain that he has. That's way above all our brains. Amen. But it's something he designed. It's a little pen. If you mash this little button on the back, it begins to light up and it begins to play. But you can't hear it, but what it does, it's reading the story of the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter number 2. And then after that, there's a gospel presentation that tells you how to be born again. So there's a whole box of them back there. He sent them to us. If you'd like to take some and give them to somebody as a little gospel tract like, say, hey, check that out, man. Or pin it on you. It's actually got a pen. You can pin it on you and wear it. So use them. Amen. To get the gospel out in Christmas. Amen. A little lights flashing. People don't listen to that. But that is a clear message on there at the end of it. So grab all you want back there. They're in the foyer on that pew. And try to give them out before Christmas. Amen. It's a very great tool. Amen. Thank God. Amen. People thinking outside the box to get the gospel out. Amen. Whether it's on a little pen, whether it's on a card like we've been handing out, mailing out, or whether we're preaching it behind the pulpit, or maybe you're giving the gospel or your testimony before you, or maybe somebody picking up an old-fashioned gospel tract and reading it. It's all the same message. It's just using technology in your brain to get it out, amen, to this whole world. And this whole world needs to hear about Jesus and a clear salvation of how he saves sinners to take them home to heaven and delivers them from a devil's hell. And the world needs to hear that message. Amen. I'm glad I heard it and received it. And God saved my soul. And amen. We are accountable as stewards of the Lord and as ambassadors of God to take that gospel to the world. Amen. Amen. Esther chapter number 1. Amen. That looks like a very difficult board, but when we can get through it tonight. Amen. We'll go as far as we need to and then we'll quit. Brother Jeff Thomas, how about pray for us? Yes, yes.
Bring them in, praise the Lord. Bring them in the door. So I pray that you be with us tonight.
Christ, amen. All right, we started out. This is our third study on this allegory study in the book of Esther. Just to recap a little bit what's going on. We've seen an allegory. We looked at the three types of ways or three ways that God does speak to us in similitudes and in parables and in allegories. A similitude is simply where God uses words like as or like. Amen. He gives us something that we understand already to reveal something that we maybe don't understand at that time. Like he said in the book of Acts, that the Spirit of God would come like as a fire. Like as. It wasn't literal fire, but it would be like fire. Amen. He said as lightning proceedeth out of the east and to the west, so cometh the Son of Man. The Son of Man is not coming back like lightning, but he's coming back as lightning. It's a figure. It's a similitude. It's a comparison. It will come instantly. It'll be quick. Amen. It'll be in a moment. Amen. That's how he's coming back. So we saw similitudes, and God uses those words as or like. And when you study your Bible, you'll be careful when you see that thing to understand how God is speaking to his people. Because there's so many false heresies out there in the world today, and one of the ways is people don't get the similitudes that God is speaking of, and they try to make the similitude something literal instead of something that it is not. It's like Jesus said over there, or John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter number 3, that Jesus would baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's going to baptize you with one or the other. Amen. You're either going to get the Holy Ghost when you get saved, or you'll get the fire of hell, amen, on the other side of it. So you need to read your Bible and understand it. He not only speaks in similitudes, but he speaks in parables. You pick up the New Testament, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's several parables that the Lord used. And a parable is simply where God uses stories to teach us truths, or even sometimes to hide truths from others. Amen. If you don't want truth, God will make sure you don't get it. That's just the way the Lord is. I know people don't like that, but that's, you read the book, that's how He is. But if you want it, God will do all He can to give it to you. Amen. Hey, God desires for you and I to have truth more than we want it. Amen. And God uses parables, and you read those parables, and He hid these things from the Pharisees and Sadducees that didn't want God, but He revealed it unto babes and taught them through parables. So God uses stories to teach us, but then He uses allegories. You find an allegory over in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, where God used Zion and Agar and Ishmael and Isaac, and He's using literal people and literal places to teach us some truths. And as He looked at those allegory in the book of Galatians, we're taking the book of Esther and looking at it as an allegory, where God takes actual people and actual places to reveal some truths to us. And we see the people that God uses in the book of Esther. He uses a man named Ahasuerus. He was the king over the 127 provinces over that land where he was the great ruler. He had a right-hand man at one time. His man was Haman. And this Haman was an Agagite. And then you have Mordecai, this Jew that was also outside the gate. Esther and Mordecai were kind of brought in, amen, into captivity under Ahasuerus' reign, where the Jewish people were brought under captivity several times in the Word of God. But this is one of those times. And they're under the rule of Ahasuerus in his 127 provinces. And Mordecai is raising his adopted daughter Esther. And so there are the characters in the book of Esther that are literally people. And we begin to look at these people, how they represent certain things to teach us truths in the Word of God, using this allegory, these certain people. In the book of Esther, we see Ahasuerus, the king. He represents the soul of man. When you look at your body today, you see your body. But inside your body is a living soul that will live forever. And you have a spirit, amen, which is that life. Just like God did in the beginning, the triune being, when He created man, spirit, soul, and body. When God formed man out of the dust of the ground, there was his body, Genesis chapter number 2. God breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was God's breath that was the spirit of life, and then there became a soul inside of a man. We're all trichotomies. In that sense, that big word means we're made in the image of God, in that sense that we're three parts, like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And God made you and I the same way. Amen. We're surely not the image of God like Adam was, which was sinless, because we're all created in the image of fallen Adam. That's why we need to be born again. Amen. As we heard Sunday night very clearly about the new birth. But we see these three parts of you and I. We've got a body that's going back to the dirt. They bury you. They say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But when you take your last breath, your soul, which is who you are, which is just like this figure here, it's made up inside of you that makes up all parts of your body. That soul is either received the Lord and going to heaven when you die, or is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and it goes into hell. And that man ultimately, like a worm, and he dies. And he'll be burning forever in a place called the lake of fire eventually. And the spirit, which is the life from God, goes back to him. And so here's man. We're looking at this allegory tonight. And you see Ahasuerus. He represents the soul of man, the seat of all the emotions. We said when we studied the book of this portion about Ahasuerus, the soul of man, this is the king of the palace. This is the most one that is inside of you. Your body is frail, it's going to die. Your spirit is on loan from God. God gave you life. But that soul, which is who you and I are, that's the most valuable thing in your life. That's why God said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is the most invaluable thing that you own. Ahasuerus represents in type that soul of man. He's the king of the palace. He rules it all. He calls the shots. Within the palace is where decisions are made, policies are declared, decrees are published, just like it was here. Here's the king in the palace. He's calling the shots. Whatever he says goes. Human behavior is determined within the soul. Amen. It is where decisions are made, plans are conceived, and it is where the will is exercised to bring the body into action. The body follows the soul. The soul says, I will do this, and that's where the body goes. You know what you did tonight? Inside your will, your soul, it said, I will to go to church. And guess what? Your body followed along with your soul. Amen. And it caused the shots. The thoughts and intents of our heart can communicate to the outside world of our behavior through that body. Whatever controls the mind and the emotions will control the will. So that's why we preach, hey, guard the gates, the eye gates, the ear gate, amen. The mouth, the nose, these are things that influence the soul, amen. And you get touched in a certain way and something inside of you arises, amen. That's why the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. You begin to touch, something arises inside of you and it leads to other decisions that maybe are not godly and wind up in a mess. So you got to guard those gates. You got to protect yourself from the influences on the outside trying to penetrate to the soul. But how does the soul talk and touch? It's touched by the body. This is the kingdom, the 127 provinces. Whatever he decides here is going to affect everything in his body. This body, human body. All of the king's provinces are affected by his commands. It depends on what the soul wills. The province can, hey, have rule. You saw this when you read the book of Esther. Here's that allegory. Here's a king. He's on the throne. He's the soul. He's calling the shots. Whatever shots he makes, it rolls down into the provinces. When he said, hey, let's put a Haman in charge, Haman said, hey, let's go kill all the Jews, and it caused all an uproar in the provinces, and it was all determined by the decisions that he made. Hey, we want to get to the point where the Holy Spirit of God is influencing the soul instead of the flesh influencing the soul, which makes better decisions in our lives. But our body is being influenced, and you know what? The soul says, let's do this. And so what happens in the provinces? We saw that there's feasting in the province when the soul says, let's have a feast. There's mourning in the province when the soul is not in as good a shape. Amen. There's weeping in the province. There's fighting in the province. There can be peace and truth in the province. There can be all kind of things that happen in this body determined by the decisions that you make in your soul. Amen. And so then you have the body, but then there inside that body you've got a flesh. So that's that element of this body that is wicked. You know, the body in itself, God created it and there it is, but there's an element inside that body that wants evil, that desires the wrong. This is the representation of Haman in the story. He is that perverted principle in man. From the beginning of the story, you have a king on his in his palace. You have him over his provinces. And entrenched within that province, you've got this guy here that is his right-hand man. He's not his right-hand man at the beginning, but he's inside the provinces in his one of his domains that's real close to him. He's firmly in the king's affections. He's enjoying complete confidence by the king where he in chapter 3, he makes him his right-hand man. Hey, here's a man in his soul, and he's over this whole body, but it's that principle in it that wants to do wrong, and the decisions that Ahasuerus makes wrong in the beginning is he puts the flesh in charge. When you put the flesh in charge of your life, there's going to be hell to pay. When you say, all right, flesh, do what you want to. Watch what you want to watch. Listen to what you want to listen. Hey, taste what you want to taste. Smell what you want to. Touch what you want. And you give the flesh free reins, it's going to wreck your life. Amen. And that's what you see here going on early on in the story of the book of Esther. The flesh is in control. He's in the king's affections. He's got his confidence. Amen. The Bible says put no confidence in the flesh. In his presence, all are to bow to him. But there was a problem. There was a man inside the kingdom named Mordecai that was not going to bow. Amen. He wasn't going to bend. He wasn't going to go the ways of the flesh. This is the Holy Ghost of God. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You find that in chapter 3 and verse 1 where the king puts the flesh in charge. But then the Holy Spirit of God says, I don't care how much the flesh wants, he ain't getting his way. That's that battle that you and I have that's, then we're born again between the flesh and the spirit. This flesh desires wickedness and the Holy Ghost and the new man desires the righteousness of God. That's that body, that battle that's going on inside of you. Hey, you know what the problem is early on in the book of Esther? Here's the man that's in charge by the soul and here's a man outside the province, amen, outside the gate, and he needs to get in control of the soul, but there's a flesh that's kind of buffering the spirit from having in his way. And the flesh don't like the spirit, and he wants everybody to bow, and he finds out the spirit's not bowing to me, and so he says, I'll kill the spirit. I'll get rid of the Holy Ghost, and I'll have full reign to the soul, and there'll never be a problem in my life. This is the allegory. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, he has no influence on the king, and he does not bow to Haman. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Mordecai. His presence means nothing to the unregenerated soul. Do you know when you're lost without the Lord, you've got that soul that's inside of you and a body that's wicked and a spirit that's in darkness. It wants nothing to do with the Holy Ghost in your life. And here the whole time outside the gate, he's trying to get inside the gate and trying to deal with your heart and trying to convict you and get you where you need to be. But we're not listening to the Holy Ghost because the natural man receiveth not the things that be of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, they're foolishness unto him. He don't want nothing to do with the Spirit of God. Amen. Hey, so the story begins with the wrong man influencing the soul. And what you've got to have happen in your life is to put this man in subjection, have him crucified, and allow the Spirit of God in control of the soul. There needs to be a change take place in the palace. This is where the gospel comes in. The gospel makes the change in our life. Haman is wicked and will do all he can to resist the Spirit of God working in the soul of Ahasuerus. So let's look at the work of the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. Number one, I want you to see if you turn back to Esther chapter number one. Here is a man that is in his province. He has many riches. He's on the throne. He's got 127 provinces under him. He's kind of faring sumptuously, you know. He's kind of like the rich man over there that went to hell and Lazarus laid at his gate. Amen. And he felt like, man, everything's going good in my life. What I got to worry about? Here's a man over here. He's over 127 provinces. He's on his throne. Everything seems to be going well, but he cannot find peace in his heart. I don't care how many provinces you put this body under. I don't care how much you give this body and how much you pamper it and how much you give to it. Amen. There's something inside the soul of mankind before he is born again by the Spirit of God that will find him himself miserable. You can't give him enough provinces. You can't give him enough of this whole world. Hey, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. When a man is lost without God, you remember when you were lost, or a lady, an individual, you were lost. I don't care how much you pampered the flesh and you gave to the flesh, there was still something missing inside, and the soul could not be satisfied. That's what you find in chapter number 1. Here's a king over 127 provinces. He's having a banquet. He's having a good time. All his friends are around. He brings his beautiful wife out. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a lot of money. Everything's going good. His bills are being paid. There's not a trouble in his life, but he can't get his wife to listen. You think, man, that's everybody, ain't it? And here's a man. He says, he wants her to come out. She said, I ain't coming out. You know what it shows you in chapter 1? Listen, I don't care how much you give yourself, how much you please yourself, you'll always find yourself miserable until the Holy Ghost moves in your life. You cannot be pleased. Then you're going to find something wrong, man. There ain't enough hot rods. There ain't enough women. There ain't enough shopping. There ain't enough toys. There ain't enough trinkets, amen. There ain't enough glitter. There ain't enough glamour. You name it, there ain't enough to give you peace deep down in your heart. The Bible says the righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Amen. And we'll live our lives in want until we receive the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives. Amen. And so here's that man in chapter number 1. He cannot be happy. Look in chapter 1 in verse number 12 of the book of Esther. He says, "But the queen of Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him." He was miserable, and he could not find peace. Amen. He ends up running his wife off. And that's what happens with a lot of people. Amen. You got problems in your soul. You need to be saved. You think that wife's the problem. She ain't the problem. You might have issues with your marriage. And you might have issues with your youngest. And you might have issues with people on the job. And you might have issues with this and that. You name it. There's things in this whole world. Hey, there's trouble in this whole world. But that's not the sole problem with mankind. He's got an uneasiness in his soul because he was born in darkness, amen, created in the image of fallen Adam. And his spirit, amen, needs an enlightenment from the Holy Ghost. And no matter how much you give him and feed him, he cannot be satisfied. And you're going to find the problem with something. And if it ain't nothing but your own self. I just hate myself. I hate life. I hate this. I hate that. There's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, amen. And here's a man that cannot find peace with his life. And so what does the world do? He runs his wife off and they say, "We'll get you another one. You know, go get another wife. Go get 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. It ain't going to matter. Until the Holy Ghost comes in your life, you're going to be miserable." Here's a man in our story that's miserable. And what he needs is to receive the Holy Spirit of God in his life. You know what happens early on in this book? And what's amazing about it, when we begin to look at this allegory and look at these types, how they show a clear picture of a man that was lost in chapter number 1. He has an intervention of the Holy Ghost. Salvation comes to his life. But he has to grow and begin to learn to put the flesh in subjection and have him crucified and let the Spirit of God rule in his spirit instead of the flesh influencing. And here's a man in chapter number 1 that's miserable. But in chapter number 2, somebody shows up. Amen. Who shows up in chapter number 2? Amen. The Holy Ghost of God. Hey, matter of fact, amen. I might have jumped the gun here for a minute. Let me go back here a minute. Now, here we go. Chapter 1. The soul is unhappy. Amen. He cannot be happy. Without a change in his life, he'll never be happy. What he needs is to receive the Holy Spirit of God in his life. Amen. He needs a reception of the Holy Ghost. Look in chapter 2 in verse number 7. The Bible says, you know how you receive the Holy Ghost? There's got to be a replacement in his life. And the replacement is found in Esther. And he didn't even realize everything that was going on when he was getting Esther. You remember when you were lost without God, by the way? Remember when the Holy Ghost come by you? You look back, hindsight's 20/20, but he convicted you and you didn't realize what was all going on in that uneasiness of your soul, and you received the Lord and you received his death on the cross to save your soul, but you really didn't understand everything that took place. And here's a man that receives Esther as his bride, that Spirit of God through the influence of Mordecai putting Esther, amen, getting her spirit enlightenment and puts her into the mix with this man right here, which begins to change his life. And when you got saved, you didn't understand everything. You struggled a little bit. Amen. But there's got to be a reception is how it starts. You must receive the Holy Ghost into your life. Chapter 2 in verse number 7. "And he brought up a Hadarus, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai," listen to this, "when her father and mother were dead, took for her his own daughter." Do you know what happens here in the life of Esther? That human spirit that needs an enlightenment, there's got to be an adoption that takes place. You know what Mordecai does? He adopts Esther. Do you know what that is? That's a type of salvation when we're adopted into Christ. That human spirit was in darkness. It was without hope. It was in despair. Here's a woman that has lost her father. She's lost her mother. There's no hope. She's in a strange land. She's in captivity. There's no hope in her life. But the Spirit of God shows up in this lady's life and gives her hope where she had no hope. Hey, he took her in, amen, to be her father, to be her mother. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what God the Father does. He'll be your father. He'll be your mother. He'll comfort your needs when you got no comfort, amen. As an adult, that takes place, which now the Holy Spirit of God has moved into the human spirit and puts the human spirit in the mix in the palace, and some changes has got to take place. There's got to be a reception of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before that anything ever happens in your life, you must receive the Holy Ghost in the new birth. Look in John chapter number 1. Hold your place here in Esther chapter number 2. John chapter number 1. There must be a receiving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are in darkness. We're without hope. We're without God. Amen. Here's a soul that's lost. Amen. Because its spirit is in darkness. Amen. And what we need is an intervention of the Holy Spirit to come in and convict us and change our lives. Mordecai shows up and changes lives. The Spirit of God showed up in your life and in my life and began to change our lives. Amen. The first thing you see in the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Esther is the Holy Spirit is received. He must be received. John chapter number 1, you know the verse. Look in verse 11. The Bible says he came unto his own, talking about Jesus coming to the Jewish race. And his own received him not. But as many as received who? Him. That's Jesus Christ. To them, the ones that received it, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There was a time in our lives where we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. He enlightened our dead spirit that was without hope, but miserable in this whole world, couldn't find any satisfaction, couldn't find no hope. Everything, we felt like we was dealt a bad hand in life. My mama's gone, my daddy's gone, everything's bad. But the Holy Ghost shows up and says, hey, I can make something out of the mess in your life. Amen. You remember when he came by and convicted you and made a change in your life? Best thing ever happened in my life, the Holy Ghost come by and moved in and took up residence when I received the gift of the Son of God into my heart. Amen. He gave us the Holy Spirit. You must receive him. You know what a lot of people have never done? They never received the Spirit of God. Look in John chapter number 7. John chapter 7. I'm talking about the receiving of the Holy Spirit. You must receive him into your heart. Amen. John chapter number 7, look in verse number 39. John 7, 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit, this is Jesus speaking, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. You know how you get the gift of the Holy Ghost? By believing on Jesus. People say, well, how I get the Holy Spirit? You know what I got to do to get the Holy Spirit? I got to pray through. You know, do I got to have somebody lay hands on me? Do I got to get some kind of gift? I mean, how does it work? What does the book say? That's what matters, right? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When you received Jesus Christ, God gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what he says in John 7 and 39. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's why Jesus, when he was on earth, said, I'll go away, and if I go away, the Comforter will come. And in Acts chapter number 2, the Comforter came down, and he birthed in the body of Christ. Amen. Now the Spirit of God lives inside of everybody that receives the gift of the Son of God. You received him, you got the Spirit. The Bible said, he that have the Son, have life. He that have not the Son, have not life. Amen. When you received him, he gave you the gift of the Spirit of God. Look in John 14. I mean, it's very clear. There's got to be a receiving of the Spirit. You know what the Spirit does? The Spirit comes by and troubles you and says, something's wrong. Remember when you were lost? Maybe you didn't have it as well off as Ahasuerus. Maybe you didn't have 127 provinces on you. You know, but you know, we had enough. The old flesh, you know, anything you get your hands on. And whatever you got, you wanted more. Right? You were never satisfied. Amen? Because you didn't realize there was something dark on the inside that needed to be changed. That trichotomy of man, that soul inside of there was longing for something better, and the body couldn't give it, and the spirit was in darkness and didn't understand how to get it. And so you're monkeying around this whole world trying to figure it out, and you're blinded. You can't see because your spirit's in darkness. And your soul's longing and longing and longing because there's something inside of man. That when God created man in the beginning, it was to worship God. But you don't know how to worship him, and you can't worship him because they didn't worship God. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. But there's no spirit inside of him. So you're just wandering around this whole world, bumping around, trying to find a way. And you're walking like a blind man, and you don't know, and you stumble here and try this, and stumble there and try this. And maybe for a little while you stumble maybe in a church. Get a little caught up in religion, and it won't satisfy you, but so far, amen, there ain't enough, there's nothing you give this old body that's going to change it until the Holy Ghost comes in.
Amen.
There's got to be a receiving of the Spirit of God. And what you got is a lot of people bouncing around this whole world and still got a dead spirit that's never received the gift of the Holy Ghost to be saved. And they wonder, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be satisfied? Hey, maybe the problem is you've never been born again.
Amen.
Mordecai's never showed up. John 14, look in verse 17. You must receive the Spirit of God. John 14, 17, Jesus said it again. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What happens? What does man need? Man needs to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. There must be a receiving of the Spirit. Amen. Have you ever received the Spirit of God by receiving His Son? You get the Son by getting the Spirit. You get the Spirit by getting the Son. The Bible said, he that have not the Spirit is none of his.
Amen.
And people say, well, I got saved, but I ain't never got the Holy Ghost. You're not God's. That ain't what the book says. The Bible said, he that have not the Spirit is none of his.
Amen.
You don't have the Spirit of God, you're not God. Don't say you're saved. Well, I'm saved, but I ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. That's foolish. Somebody's taught you a lie. What does the book say? Let God be true and every man a liar. We say, well, that ain't my denomination believes. Who cares what denomination believes?
Amen.
Who even cares what the independent Baptists believe if they don't believe the book?
Amen.
What does the book say, man? Hey, we were lost. We had not the Spirit of God. And the only way reason we got Him is because we received the Son.
Amen.
They say, well, what about the second work of grace and the third work of grace? There ain't no such thing. When you got saved, God gave you all the Holy Ghost you'd ever need. The problem is, He's in your life just like He is in the palace over here when you got Esther, but you ain't understood what changes took in place, and you're still catering to the flesh and tethered to the Spirit. It's what happens in this story. Here's a man that got saved when he got the Spirit right, after the Spirit had the work of the Holy Ghost in his life, but here's the Spirit in there, and he's still letting the flesh call the shots. And you're miserable. Spirit of God's in there, you're saved, but you're still catering to the flesh instead of to the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the story of the book of Esther. In the beginning of the story, here's a man that has met the Holy Ghost through Mordecai and got it through his bride and his Spirit, but he's still catering to the flesh. You got to receive the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. What saith the Word of God? He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit, Lorius, of a man. You know, a man has a spirit. Human spirit. What does a man know? Well, let me ask you something. What did you know before the Holy Ghost moved in your life? You know what? You know what our problem is? We thought we knew it all.
Amen.
Sometimes that's still the problem. We think we know it all. Amen. We try to muster it up in our own flesh, in our own spirit. The Bible says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know what's going to reveal to you to God? The Spirit of God. You know what we're missing in our churches? Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
Holy Ghost movement. Holy Ghost preaching. That's what we're missing. And they act like Baptists are scared of the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody scared of the Holy Ghost when you realize what He does. He's a gentleman. And He'll come by your way and try to woo you to Christ.
Amen.
Verse 12. Now we, here's our word, we're talking about receiving the Spirit, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. If you're going to know the things God's given, you're going to have to know God's Spirit.
Amen.
Because you're not going to understand God without the Spirit of God. You try to figure, that's why when we were lost, we bounced around trying to figure out what's going on. Ain't got a clue. Well, if I just get more money, if I just get a better job, if I just get that girl or get that boy, you don't care, you ain't going to get it. You're like the woman at the well, you keep dropping down your bucket every day and you got to drop it a little bit deeper every day because you can't find satisfaction in this old world. No matter how deep you dip your bucket. Verse 13 says, for which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why you try to teach a lost man the Bible. You can't teach a lost man the Bible.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God's got to come there and show that lost man he needs a new birth. And then he can start understanding the Word of God. People say, well, I don't understand the book. It's where you get people making all, you got all kind of books out there nowadays. I mean, you name it, man. What is it, 240 different translations in the English Bible? I mean, why do you need that many translations? Because you need man to put his input in there to give the natural man understanding. If you just get the Holy Ghost, you can understand the one the Holy Ghost breathed. God breathed on this King James Bible and gave it to us. It don't need corrected. Amen. It needs reread, somebody said. Amen. That's what it needs. It needs to be lived. Amen. It needs to be believed. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God will give you understanding if you ask him. The Holy Ghost of God breathed it and he gave it to you and he lives in you. Why can't you understand?
Amen.
Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself judgeth no man. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does man need? Here's a man in his palace, chapter 1, on his throne, got everything at his fingertips, and he cannot find satisfaction. It drives him so crazy where he runs his wife off. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, that's what happens. This is one example of what you'll run off in this life trying to find it. And then when you get born again, you look back and thinking, oh, well, what in the world I mess I done made? But then you got to deal with what mess you made. And here's a man that made a mess. Now the Holy Ghost has come. Amen. He's come to enlighten the human spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter number 2. You know the verse. Ephesians 2, there's got to be a new birth. There's got to be a quickening. There must be a work of the Holy Spirit of God in the human spirit before anything changes. Unless there's a work of the Holy Ghost of God on your human spirit, there's nothing ever going to change. He's got to move in. He's got to work on you. Show you you're wrong. Show you your need for a Savior. You know what the first thing I heard the gospel, you know what I thought? Well, I ain't that bad. You know why I thought it wasn't that bad? Because I can compare myself to somebody else that was worse than me. The only problem was I was that bad in God's eyes. When the Holy Ghost shows you what you are in His eyes, something's got to change. And we need that work of the Holy Ghost to breathe on. Honey, guy, I read a book, a guy's talking about it. He said, well, our problem is here's what we learn. It's like training a dog. And you take a dog, and that dog spirit, that dog don't have nothing, it don't know nothing. And you leave that dog at home and you go to town and the dog is in the kitchen and he goes up there and gets your meal that you laid out to cook when you got home. And you come back and you look at that dog and you think, what a fluffy dog, what a beautiful dog. I can't believe my dog stole my lunch. And you think, I can't beat my dog. I should have never left it out there, right? And then you go out next week and your dog does it again and you come back and say, you stupid mutt. And you pop it. You know what you're teaching that dog? The guy said you call it smack wrong. That's smack wrong. And you know, for long you smack that dog enough, he'll find out that wrong is wrong. He don't know it's morally wrong. He just knows it's smack wrong. I know if I do this, this is what I'm getting. Right? It's the way we raise our youngest. Amen. They ain't got no morals about them, but they understand smack wrong. You know, you touch that and see if I don't smack you. Well, it used to be like that. Maybe your young generation don't know nothing about that. But there used to be a time when they whooped your tail. And you learned smack wrong. You know what I mean? And then you get that dog and he learns smack wrong. And then you get him to sit down. And it's about the stupidest thing. A dog ain't make to sit on his tail. But if you teach him to sit down, you know how you teach him? You give him a candy right. That's what he said. He said candy right. He knows smack wrong and candy right. That's all he knows. I thought it was pretty good myself. He knows that if you smack me if I do this because it ain't right, then I better not do that because I'm going to get a smack. But if I sit down and give you my paw, it's candy right. And so you know what happens in our lives? This is what happens with us. We raise people on the smack wrong, candy right idea. And they learn this is what you do to get by and get candy, and this is what you get if you do that. And so we raise our generation without the work of the Spirit of God. We just learn them smack wrong and candy right. And they grow up in our churches and they know how to sing. They know how to talk. They know candy right. Say the verse, hand me candy, preacher. Five pieces this Sunday. It's candy right. Say a verse, right? But you get back there and cut up in the pew, mama smacks you and says, pay attention, don't you go to sleep. That's smack wrong. And we teach them smack wrong and candy right. But then when they grow up, as long as they in our environment, they understand smack wrong, candy right. But you let that dog go into somebody else's neighborhood, where there's a different attitude out there, and all they've ever been taught is smack wrong and candy right. Over here, it ain't smack wrong and candy right. This, what was smack wrong at home, might not be smack wrong at college. What was candy right at church might not be candy right in the world. Maybe the world gives you candy if you do this. If you drink this and smoke this. Now this is candy right. And it's a different environment. You know what we're missing? Is we're missing the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because the Holy Spirit is not just teaching you smack wrong, candy right. It's giving you something deep down in your spirit, which is a change. And whether you're in Babylon, or whether you're in Egypt, or whether you're in Palestine, or whether you're back in Israel, what's right is right morally, because that's what the Spirit of God said. Amen. That's what we're missing in our lives. What we need is a work of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. Yes, it's good to know smack wrong and candy right, but you need to know Holy Ghost right and Holy Ghost wrong. Because the Holy Ghost ain't changing no matter where you go.
Amen.
We can get the Holy Ghost working in people's lives, we can get some changes that'll last when they go out. Makes sense, don't it? You know what's got to happen? It's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. A lot of times what the problem is all they ever learned was smack wrong and candy right and never had a work of the Holy Ghost, and some of them never been born again. Ephesians chapter number 2, look in verse 1. Here's what needs to happen. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know what we needed? We needed a Holy Ghost quickening. We needed an enlightenment. Somebody who was sung, I saw the light, I saw the light. Hank Williams, whether he saw the light or not, who knows? Somebody said when he died in that cab car that day, when he was heading up to that concert to sing, I saw the light. You ever heard the story? I don't know whether he's ever born again or not, but I know the story, what they said. They said, oh, Hank Williams was heading up in that old back of that old cab car, and they were taking him up to sing in that old concert, but all them Christians was up there wanting to hear him. I sing, I saw the light, I saw the light. And they got a report that Hank Williams ain't making it. He died in the back of that cab car. And they asked the cab car driver about it, and he said the cab car driver was driving down the road, and old Hank Williams in the back seat of that old truck, in the back seat of that cab, tore up on drugs and alcohol in the same mess he was before. He could have been, you know, who knows? But he's back there in a mess, and that old boy thought he'd cheer old Hank Williams up. He started singing, I saw the light, I saw the light. And he said, old Hank Williams in the back seat of that car said, there is no light, there is no light. And if he meant it or not, I don't know, but if he meant what he was saying, he never saw the light. He might have sung a song, but he ain't know Jesus Christ. You said, preacher, you don't know. I don't know. You're right, I don't know. I hope he's in heaven today. If he never got a new birth, he ain't in heaven. I don't care how many songs he sung. You've got to have a work of the Holy Ghost in your life. He'll move in. You had to be quickened who were dead in trespass. That word quickened means to be made alive. We were dead, but it needed to be alive. It was all gloom and doom until the Holy Ghost moved in and lightened our spirit. That's that adoption, Romans chapter number 8, verse 15 and 16. Look at that, Romans chapter 8. There's got to be an adoption. There's got to be a new birth. Holy Ghost has got to move in. Amen. And what was Esther? Here she was, bouncing around, miserable, with no father. But the Holy Ghost said, I'll take you. I'll take you unto my own and raise you like you're my own. Amen. There was an adoption that took place. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost said, God adopted us. We were just like Esther, man, without hope and without God. Miserable. Some of us, even if you be honest, if you told your story about your salvation, you felt like you were dealt a bad hand. I know I did. I thought I dealt a bad hand. Bad hand. How did I get dealt that hand? I got to live with that. I fold. You know? How many of you felt like you were dealt a bad hand? Well, look, man, my parents are divorced. I'm poor as dirt. Ain't got nothing. Everybody's got everything. Hey, you start looking at it and comparing it with other people. You thought, man, what a mess I got. This ain't fair. But you know what I realized after I got saved? God knew exactly what hand I needed to be dealt. And He knew what to put in my life and what to put in my place. And if I wanted God, He'd make sure I got it. And I remember the Saturday night at the joint where I had no business being, looking across the dust of the crowd thinking, man, is this all there is to life? That's what I said to myself. And the Holy Ghost of God knew what He was doing in my life. I don't know how He was doing it, but He knew how to come to where I was. And I showed up in church that Sunday morning knowing nothing about God. Man, God took a Bible and God let me know this is what life's all about.
Amen.
All I did is said, is this all there is? And God wrecked the plane in my life.
Amen.
Tell me God don't know how to show up if you want Him. Amen. Ain't nobody going to shake their fist at God and say, why didn't you come by my way? You want him, God wants you more than you want him. God wanted me that Sunday more than I wanted him, and I'm glad he did. I'm glad he passed by my way, and the Holy Ghost came in and quickened my spirit and gave me a hope in the inside I never had in my life. That's the new birth. That's the adoption. I was like that old girl, man. No mama, no daddy. What a mess. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 15 says it like this. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And ain't it good to be saved? Holy Ghost has moved in. Changed that old girl's life. And now he's there to take care of her. Think about the adoption that took place in this girl's life. Here's Mordecai that took her in when her mom and daddy died. You know what Mordecai was there to do? The same thing the Holy Ghost is there to do in our lives. He's there to care for you. He's there to educate you. Amen. He's there to discipline you when you need it. He's there to guide her when she needed guidance. He's there to lead her in the spiritual things. That's the work of Mordecai in her life, and that's the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. He's there to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and to point us into the spiritual world.
Amen.
And that's what he was in her life. He showed up to change our lives. How did he do it? Look back in Ephesians 1. He's got to be a receiving of the Spirit of God. When you receive him, things change. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're talking about the work of the Spirit of God in the allegory of Esther. There's got to be a receiving. Amen. People wonder about, how do you get saved? What do you do? Man, look what the Spirit of God does the work. Ephesians 1, look in verse 12. The Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. You ever trusted in him?
Amen.
You say, what does that mean? How do I trust Christ? Well, look, verse 13. More than good, the Bible makes it clear. Look, in whom also ye trusted. When did you trust? Listen, after that you heard the word of truth. So there's a hearing of the word of God. What did I hear? The gospel of your salvation. That's what you heard. What is the gospel? How did Christ die for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day? I trusted that gospel after I heard that message.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How did you trust? One day I heard how Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of mankind.
Amen.
And I believed on that gospel message. And when I believed, the Bible said, afterward, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That puts it all in one. You received him, you got his spirit. He moved in. The Bible goes on to say, verse 14, which is the spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession into the praise of his glory. You know what happened when God saved you? He adopted you into the family. When you received the gospel, he gave you the earnestness of the inheritance. He gave you a down payment, which is the Holy Ghost inside of you. You know what God gave you the Holy Ghost for? He gave you the Holy Ghost until he comes back for the redemption of the purchased possession. When you got saved, man, there's so much that happened. You were adopted into the family of God. You were given the gift of the Holy Ghost, which was a down payment that God said, I'm laying down on you till I come to get the rest of what I purchased. The Bible says you're bought with a price. What's the price I was bought with? The price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to him now. And how you know I belong to him? I've got the seal on the inside. The Holy Ghost is present. And God gave me that down payment, and it's going to be there that he comes back and gets the possession. I'm his, and he's mine. I'm just waiting for my ride out of here. Yeah. Now, when's that going to happen? It might happen at death. It might happen at the rapture. I don't know, but he's coming to get back what he bought. Man, ain't it good to know that God ain't going to leave you? He purchased you. You're his. That's what he said in 1 John 5. Look there. Amen. There's got to be a receiving of the Holy Spirit. And if you received it, it's there. And God's coming to get what's his. John, 1 John, right before the book of Revelation, Jude and Revelation over there. 1 John 5. Verse number 10. You ever received the gift of the Spirit? The Bible says in verse 9 of 1 John 5, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You tell me which one's better, what God said or what men say? You know what the answer is. It's God. The witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which have testified of His Son. This is what God said about His Son. Look, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Hey man, it's a bad thing to be a liar and not receive God's Son. And all liars in that part have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. The Bible says in verse number 11, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You got the Son, you got the Spirit, you got life. You know what else you got? It gets better. This is in verse 11 said, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, Son of God hath not life. Ain't that example? Simple. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either got Jesus and got life, been quickened, been made alive, been adopted, or you don't have Him and you're still miserable, bouncing around in your palace trying to make a way. You either got Him or you don't. He said, you going to heaven? Man, I got the Son. I'm going to heaven. He said, that's kind of boastful. No, I'm boasting in the Son. I ain't going to heaven because I go to church. I ain't going to heaven because I read my Bible. I'm going to heaven because I got the Son. I received the gift of the Son. And the gift of the Son came to get to the Holy Ghost, which is the down payment till God comes to get His purchased possession. Oh, ain't that good? Look what He says here. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You got it? You got eternal life. Amen. He came, moved in, adopted us. We belong to Him. The Spirit of God is coming to enlighten us. Look back in Esther chapter number 2. Esther 2. We're not going to go far tonight. We've got a lot to cover. We'll just stop after this point. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. It all starts with you receiving the Spirit. And once you receive the Spirit, and the Spirit moves inside your human spirit, and that human spirit is working inside that soul with a flesh that's battling the Holy Ghost, there's all kind of turmoil breaking off after chapter 2. Haman's in charge. He's trying to kill all the Jews. He's trying to silence the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost has already moved into that spirit and is trying to get to the soul, and the spirit, the flesh don't want the Spirit to get to the soul to tell the truth. Starts blinding them. Yeah. You'll see how it works. That old flesh, I ain't got to tell you in the book of Esther, that flesh is wicked as hell. And going to do all it can to try to keep the Holy Ghost from working in your life.
Amen.
You know what happens here? Here's a king. In chapter 2, we see the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Esther has been given the Holy Spirit in her life. Now she's married the king. She's in the palace. And here's a king bouncing around. It's the type of a man that's saved, but really don't know exactly what he got when he got it. Amen. Remember when you were saved? Man, I knew. Man, who in the world knew? I just knew, man, I once was blind, but now I see. What a happy man am I. I got Esther and ain't got that old witch no more, you know? But he don't understand at all. Now, you know what happens? Now, here's how the Holy Spirit works in chapter 2. We end right here. The Holy Ghost has been received. He's in the palace, entrenched in there. And the flesh is still trying to, you know, call the shots. But in the end of chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit is there to give us hope, to enlighten us, and to help us from danger. Here's a man in chapter 2. We end like this. He was miserable in chapter 1. He did all he could to try to find satisfaction. These guys made a plan, we'll give you a new bride. They really didn't know what was going on. And the Holy Ghost was working through Mordecai to deal with this girl's heart, to put her to being the bride and putting hope in that old man's life. And now he has hope in chapter 2, but he really don't realize all the hope that he's got. And he's kind of just bouncing around. And here's the Holy Ghost when it moves in a person's life. You know what the Holy Spirit of God will do? It'll try to protect you. But once you get saved, that old stinking devil wants you dead. He hates the fact that you've met life. You remember when you were lost? Devil, yeah, help yourself, man, enjoy the old world. Then you get saved and it feels like the devil's trying to take you down. In chapter 2, here's he gets the right spirit in his life, and then there's an assassination that tries to take place to kill him. That's the work of the devil trying to destroy this man now that he's found some peace. He don't want him to get complete happiness by putting the flesh in subjection. Hey, we don't want him to be a witness and bring joy to the province and joy to the city and make a change. Let's knock him off early. Let's kill him. The devil already wanted you blinded, wanted you lost, but now you got the light, now he wants you dead. And in the end of chapter number 2, there's an assassination that takes place to try to kill this guy. And you know who enlightens everybody about what's about to go on? This old boy right here. The Holy Ghost of God says, man, you better stay away from that. That ain't good. Look in the end of chapter 2. Look how it happens. Look in verse 21. The Bible said, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, he still ain't in here on the throne because this guy's on the throne. He can't get his place, but he's in there, but he ain't working where he should be. He sat in the king's gate, still outside the gate. Two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those that kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai. Holy Ghost knows what's going on. Who told it unto Esther, the human spirit. Something ain't right here. I don't know what it is, but something ain't right. You ever had that happen in your life? Holy Ghost trying to work in your life. You don't even understand what he's working, but he's working. You ever get an uneasiness in your human spirit and it's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to your human spirit and give you some enlightenment? That's what he's there for. He's there to protect you. He'll give you that uneasiness. Maybe get you up at night and say, you better go check your door and see if they're locked. Maybe there's somebody out there, the devil's got out there, and he really is. Maybe it might just be you just playing with your emotions, but then it might be the Holy Ghost trying to warn you. Holy Ghost ever woke you up at night? With somebody on your heart to pray for? Holy Ghost is working. And he reveals it to Esther. Says, look, Esther, the queen. And Esther, she's got connection. Because Mordecai's still outside the gate. Holy Ghost ain't giving his control yet. And so she goes in there and lets the king know, hey, somebody's going to kill you, trying to kill you. He makes it known to Mordecai, to Esther, verse 23. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they both were hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. The Holy Ghost has moved in Esther. Esther's in the throne, in the kingdom. The flesh is going to get, you know, access to the throne more than the spirit does in the beginning of the story. Here's a man that's saved. Don't really understand what's going on. The flesh is still trying to call the shots and he's still miserable. And this old boy here is trying to destroy everything in this old body. He's trying to destroy the province just so he can get his glory. The flesh only wants what it can get. Don't care who it hurts. But the Holy Ghost is trying to get in there and work in that spirit to change this whole life around. And what you find in your life when you get saved, the Holy Ghost moves inside of you and he wants to put the flesh in its place and rule in that human spirit with some joy and peace and give you victory in your Christian life. And that's what we're going to see. We saw tonight the first work of the Spirit of God. The first work is the receiving. There's a receiving of the Holy Ghost in chapter 2. Amen? We'll stop right there. Any questions about what we just discussed? The work of the Spirit of God. It's going to be a good study. It's going to be a study that's educational to our lives and help our Christian walks. We need to learn how to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide our lives. He's the person inside of you. He's there. And what we'll see is how this thing goes on. What happens, Doug, the Holy Spirit gets grieved, it gets resisted, it gets quenched, until finally the Holy Spirit is given leeway in the Spirit and something changes to change the whole story of the book of Esther. Just like God wants to do in our lives. But first he's got to get in there. You must be born again. Amen? All right, let's stop right there. All hearts clear tonight? Amen. Will everybody stand? We won't have an altar call tonight.